Our Heavenly Father, how glorious it is to be in the house of the Lord in your presence once again this morning. And we want to thank you and we want to praise you. We want to give you glory for everything that you've been doing for us. And what a beautiful day it is. And we thank you, Lord, the beautiful weather and all the blessings of God in our lives. And we just want to ask, Lord, as always, to bring the light of your word into our lives. And let your name be glorified this morning. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And everybody says amen. Amen. Praise God. I've got a short exhortation for you this morning. In fact, I started to talk about this last Friday at the Faith Lab. Every Friday, every last Friday when we have that consecration, or the last weekend, we have that Faith Lab at 7 p.m. And we talked about this, but today I'm going to preach a short exhortation. The word of faith. The word of faith. And I'm going to start here at Romans chapter 10. And I want you have your Bibles. And if you don't, you can look up on the screen. Romans chapter 10. And I'm going to start here at verse 6. The word of faith is my message this morning. And Romans 10 and 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up again from the dead. See, you know. But what does it say? It says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. In thy mouth. The word of faith is nigh thee. He said, and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And that's my topic this morning. The word of faith is in your mouth. You don't need to say, oh, you know, I'm going to wait for Christ to come down and do this. Or, you know, I'm going to, you know, see you until he comes out of the grave. Because he's no longer in the grave. How many of you say amen to that? Oh, yes, he's been risen. Oh, yes, and we know he's alive and well, you know. And by the power of his resurrection, that's the very reason that we have our lives and our hope in him. So, you know, that is the topic this morning. And what it means is we're going to be talking about how to use the word of faith. How to use the word of faith. Now, I'm going to show you from the scriptures that you must speak the word of faith in order for God to do something for you. Now, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 20. Let's see what, you know, how the early disciples or the apostles did it. You know, actually the disciples, you know, every one of them, how they did it in the early days. He said in Mark 16 and 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Now, so if they didn't speak, the Lord didn't do anything. They had to speak, and then the Lord confirmed it. You know, now, so, you know, that's the message. It's going to be a short message this morning, and that's what we are talking about, that you must speak the word of faith in order for the Lord to move and do something for you according to what you say. Of course, you must believe the Lord to do that. Now, let's see how God himself did it. You know, how did God do it? In Hebrews chapter 11, and verse 3. We are told that by faith we understand that God, see, he formed the worlds through faith. I mean, let's take a look at it. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. You can look up on the screen and you'll see it there. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It means that God spoke things into existence out of nothing. That's what it means. He spoke. And let's see how he did it in Genesis chapter 1. How did he do it? In that chapter, every time that God will create something, it will say, and God said. And God said. Now, Genesis chapter 1. Verse 3. And God said, Let there be light. See, that's how God did it. He spoke it, and it came to pass. Then again, in Genesis chapter 1, the same chapter, verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and so forth. And as he spoke it, it came to pass. And then in verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together, and so forth, and let the dry land appear. He would just call the things out. He would say, okay, you know, first time he said, let there be light, and there was light. The next time he said, well, you know, let, you know, there be a firmament, you know, that would divide this and that, and then, you know, he created the heaven that way. And then he said, you know, well, you know, let the waters gather up this way, and let the dry land appear. And it did. And then again in verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass. So God began to speak to the earth. He said, let the earth bring forth grass. You know, begin to let the grass begin to come forth, the herb and all these things come out of the grass, come out of the earth, he said. God said by his word. And then verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament. And until this day, those lights obey his word. He said, let them be for seasons. And they are just exactly like that from the one time he said it until this very day. And everything else he said has been like that. Now verse 20 also. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature. That's how he created the fish and all these things in water. He spoke to the waters. So you waters, bring forth the fish. You know, and that's how he did it. And also in verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth every living creature, all the animals and so forth. Come on, you know, come out of there and then, you know, have life. God spoke these things into existence. Now that's our topic this morning. Now you say, God can do that. Of course he can do that. See, so we know God can do that. You know, so there is no question about that. But can you believe God and begin to speak things in your life? If the same God that created the universe, you know, one time Jesus said, out of the belly of him that believeth shall flow four rivers of living water. And he said, we're talking about the Holy Ghost. That means out of your belly, right inside of you, the Holy Spirit living in there. You know, and if that same great Holy Spirit that moved upon the face of the waters in Genesis 1 and 2, if he is in there inside of you, he can speak through you if you believe. How many of you say amen? So we're going to see how we do that. And if you are not speaking the word, God is not going to be doing anything for you, because that's the way he did it. He spoke things, and you know, when things are not going the way they are, they should be, and so forth, you ought to look to the word of God and speak the faith that God gives us. Now, let me say, and this will tie right into the scripture that was read this morning in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. How many of you say amen to that? Now that's what God said, but we can say that too in the name of the Lord. He said, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. That's Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. Now I'm going to show you something that Jesus did that the disciples, they marveled at. Because Jesus, you know, he spoke the word, and there was a casual day that he just said something. You know, and you know, everybody was just looking, and then we'll see. So this story is very interesting. So I want you to turn to Mark chapter 11. We're going to bring out a viewpoint here on how you can speak the word and go on about your business. And if you believe the Lord, it will come to pass. Mark chapter 11. Let's read this story starting at verse 12. It's going to be a short exhortation this morning. Mark chapter 11. This is the story. Now Jesus, you know, he had gone with his disciples, and turn with me to your Bibles or look at it up on the screen, Mark chapter 11, and I'm going to start at verse 12. Now, and on the morrow, so, you know, early in the morning and so forth, you know, they got up from, you know, they were come from Bethany, and, you know, Jesus was hungry. You know, so, then he saw a fig tree, the Bible says, afar of having leaves, and he came if haply he might find anything thereon. So he saw this fig tree, it looked like, you know, had leaves, and so it should have some fruit and so forth like that. So he came there and he looked, and he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. Well, you don't think that Jesus knew or didn't know that it wasn't the time of the figs. Of course he knew, but he wanted to bring out a viewpoint. You know, he wanted to show the disciples something. So he walked up to this tree, and he's, you know, the leaves, they bunched up together, they looked like fruit. But when he got there, there was really no fruit. And now, what did he say? Here's what he said to the tree. And Jesus said, unto it, that's the tree. Can you speak to a tree? Jesus spoke unto the tree and said, no man shall eat fruit of you hereafter forever. When he said that, the Bible says the disciples heard it. You know, they said, well, we don't know about this. We've seen this guy do different things, but this business of speaking to the tree, I don't know about this one. You know, so anyway, Jesus said to the tree, nobody will eat of you again. And the disciples heard. And then the disciples looked, and the tree just looked exactly the same. It looked green. The leaves were in place. Nothing happened to the tree. So the disciples began to wonder in their hearts. Well, I don't know. I think, you know, he went too far this time. You know, this business of speaking to this tree and so forth. So they left, you know, because nothing happened to the tree, it looked like. And then, listen to what happens. Verse 19. So this was in the morning when he spoke to the tree. And then in verse 19, and when the even was come, that's evening, was come, you know, they went out of the city. See? And then in the morning, that's the next day. See? So one day is already passed. So in the morning, they passed by and saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. My goodness. And Peter, he's always quick to say something. He called him to remember and said unto him, Master, Master, look at the tree. Look at the tree that you cursed. It's already withered away. You know, well, they didn't think it would happen because nothing happened the first day, it looked like. But Jesus, he just spoke the word and went about his business. He didn't, you know, he didn't even bother about it. He knew it was going to happen because he already spoke it. And it took a whole day for the tree to wither away. Well, guess what happened? When Jesus said that tree, it died. Right there. But it takes time for the tree to wither away. How many of you understand that? It took a whole day for it to wither away, even though it died just right as soon as Jesus said it. And it took almost a whole day, and the next day was when the tree had withered away. And so they wondered. They said, wow. You know, we thought, you know, nothing happened when you said that. And Jesus said unto them, have faith in God. Oh, yes. Have faith in God. When you say these things, you got to have faith in God. You know, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, now that's the message this morning, shall say. Now notice the words of Jesus Christ. Now I've always said in this church, and I've told you many times, every time Jesus preached or said something to his disciples, he never used any complicated language. He made it very simple so that people can understand. He used very simple words. And here's what he said today. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, very simple. See, but you have to say, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. Now we're going to bring out something here this morning. And shall not doubt in his heart, see, but shall believe that those things which he said now shall come to pass later, he shall have whatsoever he said. Now do you see the tense, the way Jesus put it? He said, you know, first he said, if you believe in your heart and you don't doubt, well, you see, if you say it and it doesn't happen, well, of course, every creature is naked before him. There's heart, there's doubt in your heart. And there's other condition too that I'm going to bring out in a minute here. You know, but, you know, if you don't doubt at all and you say it, well, here's what Jesus said. He said, once you say it, you believe that it shall come to pass. He didn't necessarily say it will happen right there and then. How many of you are still following me? Do you understand that, church? He said, you say it, and at the time that you say it, you believe in your heart that those things that you said shall come to pass. The coming to pass, the timing of it coming to pass, that's his business. You speak the word, and he will confirm it. How many of you say amen? Amen. And he said, you will have whatsoever you say. Now, you must say it, though. So that's the message this morning. The word of faith is in your mouth. You've got to speak that word. That's when God is going to confirm it. You know, so you have got to speak that word. That is the word of faith. Now, of course, you have to speak according to the word of God. You can't just say anything. You can't just get up and say anything. You know, no. So you'll find that scripture in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 37. It says, "Who is it that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord has not commanded it?" So you can't say something that's against the word of God and expect it to come to pass. You've got to speak according to the word of God. You say, you got to speak according to the word of God. Why? Absolutely. You know, that's the only way that anything you speak is going to come to pass. You know, because it's according to the word of God. Now, Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. We'll give you more insight about that. That's speaking according to the word. It says, "If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." So you must speak according to the word. You know, so how do we do all of this? How do we speak? How do we make sure that these things happen? You know, now, there are certain conditions. Those of you that have been in the faith labs the last two times, we've talked about the conditions that go with some of the promises of God and so on. There are certain conditions. And even in this great example that Jesus was giving right here in Mark chapter 11, there are some principles that he laid out. First thing he said is you must have faith in God. See, not faith in yourself. And not faith in your faith. You must have faith in God. Like the song we sang this morning that said, "My God can do all things." You must believe that. That is non-negotiable. You know, the Bible says that he that cometh to God must believe that he is able. So anything you want God to do for you, you must first believe that he is able. The Bible says that you must believe that he is, but I believe it means that he is able. See, you must believe. That's non-negotiable. You must believe that God is able to do all things. Now, if you don't believe that, you already doubt him. See, but if you can believe that, then the next thing is, when you speak the word according to his word, that means according to whatever he has promised, then you must not doubt in your heart. Because he said, "Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, then you will have whatsoever you say." You know. Now, I want to challenge the church this morning, you know, to begin to see, put this into practice and see how it works. I know it works, you know. And then here's the other part. In Mark chapter 11, he tells them, and in verse 25, say, "And when you stand praying," this is the condition for all of this, beyond the faith and not doubting in your heart, there's an extra condition which many people don't read far enough to this verse. He says, "When you stand praying, then you must forgive." How many of you can say forgive? That's right. You must forgive. Because, you know, he said, you must forgive if you have aught against any. In other words, if you have something that somebody has done to you that's bothering you and so forth like that, you've got to forgive when you stand praying to have this kind of power with God. If you don't forgive, here's what he said. He said, "You must forgive if you have aught against any, so that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses." He said, but if you do not forgive, well, then God's going to hold it against you. And you can't work this kind of miracles if you don't forgive. See? So Jesus is giving us the secret here. You know, so sometimes you say, well, why does this not happen? Well, maybe you have not enough faith in God. Maybe you have a little doubt in your heart. And maybe you have some bitterness in your heart. There's various reasons why these things don't happen. It's all in the word of God. You know, but if you can fulfill the conditions, sir, then you can speak the word just like Jesus said, and it will come to pass. And I'm going to give you two more scriptures, and then we are going to pray, and we're going to try some of this morning, and see how God can begin to bring things to pass in your life, just like he spoke, and God said. Remember, "And God said." If you don't remember anything else in this sermon today, I want you to remember that. "And God said, and God said, and God said." Repeatedly, that's how he brought the things to pass. Now, Job chapter 22 and verse 28. It says, "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee." And of course, there is also certain conditions. There are also certain conditions with this particular promise. Just like with every promise in the Bible, there is one or more conditions. In this particular condition, it is for you to acquaint yourself. In this particular case, the condition is for you. In verse 21, it says, acquaint yourself with the Lord thy God. Make your prayer. I say, if thou return unto the Almighty, verse 23, thou shalt be built up. But you must return to the Lord. See? And you must put away iniquity, he said in verse 23. Remember, we preached on that sermon, righteousness, the good way, and the old paths. You must put away iniquity from your tabernacles. When you do all of that, I say, then shall you lay up gold as the dust. How many of you would like to lay up gold as the dust? Oh yes, that means you will be wealthy. If you put away iniquity and if you return to the Lord, you will lay up gold as the dust and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be your defense. Can you say amen to that? Oh yes. He will be your defense, you know, and so forth. And you will have plenty of silver, plenty of money, he said, you know, when you do these things. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty. So you must delight yourself in the Lord in order to have this, you know, kind of power with God. But when you do all these things, what will happen? He said, well, you make your prayer unto him, he will hear you. And you must also pay your vows, he said. You know, you can make a promise to God and so forth. Say, well, God, if you do this and so forth, I'll do that. And then when he does it, then you don't. You know, that God has no pleasure in that. You know, so you must make your vows also, he said. You know, that's in verse 27. And then verse 28, he said, then thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. So, if you are decreeing things and it's not working, well, you know, you need to check out all these conditions. You know, but if you can fulfill all of these things, the word of God cannot be broken. The scripture can never be broken, you know. So, here's what it says. You will decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon your ways. Hallelujah. Oh yes, the light will shine upon your ways. And finally, I want to read this scripture in Ezekiel chapter 37. This is the, you've heard me preach on this when I preached on the Valley of Dry Bones, you know, and so forth like that. You know, this is the picture of Ezekiel standing over a valley, and he saw dry bones. And the Lord asked him a question. He said, can these dry bones live again? You know. And Ezekiel said, well, Lord, you're the one that knows the answer to that. And the Lord told him, here's what I want you to do. You know, I want you to speak to these dry bones. Amen? That's right. He didn't go. He didn't tell him, go over there and lay your hands and do any of this, jump up and down and so forth. He said, speak. Prophesy. You know, that's how you speak. Prophesy means you declare the word of God. That's what prophesy means. You know, declare the word of God into your situation. You know, you take the word of God and say, thus saith the Lord, my God. You know, in quietness I shall be established. You know, and I shall have rest to my soul. You know, if you are troubled, you speak the word of God like that. You know, and if the devil is troubling, you say, the Lord has said unto me, he restoreth my soul. And he leads me beside the green pastures. And the next thing you know, God will begin to honor his word in your life. So he tells Ezekiel, prophesy. You can read the whole chapter. I don't want to take time to read it, but verses 4 through 7 in Ezekiel 37 will give you the synopsis of what happened there. The Lord told him, prophesy to the dry bones. You know, and then he spoke. He prophesied unto the dry bones just like the Lord told him. He said, thus saith the Lord, come back to life. Remember, God said, and he told Ezekiel to do the same thing. Now, in your life, and in your situation today, you know, how do you apply this principle? You know, after having looked at some of these things we read in the Bible, how do you now apply this principle to yourself? You have some situations in your life. Everybody has some challenges. You know, maybe you are facing sickness, you know, loss of your job, or loss of your home, or whatever it is. You know, if you are believing the Lord, you know, how do you use this concept, you know, to get the victory? You know, first, you must have faith in God. Now, that means, you know, if you are not believing the Lord, then it's not going to work. You must have faith in God. Now, these promises are especially for believers. Now, if you are here this morning and you don't even know what it means to be a believer, you know, then we can help you, you know, and lead you to salvation through the power that is in the name of Jesus Christ. But if you believe, then these promises are for you. And you can say, in the name of the Lord, you know, to whatever your situation is, be thou removed. You know, you can say, you know, if you are facing any kind of crisis, you can say, you know, assuming that, you know, you are sitting in darkness, let's use that, you know, concept. You know, sitting in darkness, you can say, let there be light in my situation. You know, you can say, in the name of the Lord, let things begin to happen, you know, concerning this and that. You know, perhaps you are out of work and so forth, and you are looking for a job, you know, and you have a situation that is very dire, you know, and you are in a lot of trouble. You can begin to speak the word of God and say, you know, well, you know, let the angels begin to put things in place to cause this to happen to me. You know, you can speak the word of God. The Bible says there are some holy watchers. By their decree, they look at things. You know, and so forth. And if you know how to do that, we've already spoken that in another sermon. I don't want to go into that this morning. But if you know how to use that faith, you can decree those things. And they can begin to come to pass. It's very simple. Even in little things like headache and sickness and disease and, you know, you have a cold or you have a this or that or whatever it is. You know, before you even get to greater things, you can begin to speak the word. Those of you who are parents and you have little children, you know, and so forth, you can speak the word. You know, if your child comes to you and is discouraged about something, you know, at school and so forth, you can speak the word to them. And you can say it just like this woman said in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 18 through 35. I'm not going to read that. I'm just going to tell you because I want to close this and go on to the other thing that we're going to do. But this was the story of the woman, you know, that Elisha had visited several times, and finally, you know, she had been barren, and she done some favors for Elisha every time he came, you know, and so forth. And then, you know, he told her that you are going to have a child. See? Now remember, Elisha also spoke to that woman just like that. He said, look, according to the time of life, this time, next year, you'll have a child. That's how he said. You know, he didn't pray or say anything like that. He just said it because he had seen, you know, the answer from the Lord. You know, and so this morning, you know, maybe that's your need. Maybe you need a child from the Lord. Maybe whatever it is, I don't know. You know, I'm going to make some decrees at the end of this message this morning. Amen? And I want the church to join me and make certain decrees. But in any case, after this child was grown, you can read the story yourself in 2 Kings chapter 4, you know, verses 18 through 35. After this child was grown, one day, the child suddenly died. Had a severe migraine or whatever it is. And the next thing you know, he collapsed and gave up the ghost. And, you know, and she called her, you know, one of the servants of, you know, master and so forth. I mean, her husband said, look, saddle me up a chariot. I want to go to the man of God and so forth like that, you know. And even her husband asked, you know, why do you want to go to the man of God today? You know, not knowing that the child had died and so forth, you know. But what is it that she said that is so critical that I want to point out? You know, what is so critical that she said that I want to point out? In verse 23, he said, it shall be well. And in verse 26, he said, it is well. Now, when they asked her, the child was dead. And when she came to the man of God, you know, from afar off, the man of God sent his servant, go see, that looks like that Shunammite woman coming and so forth like that. You know, and she said, you know, well, you know, I don't see her husband with that. What seems to be the problem? You know, and she said, all is well. How many of you can say it is well? Oh yes, you know, that is a spoken word of faith. Her child was dead. See? Now, if some people have their child dead, you know, my goodness, the whole heavens will cave in upon them. But this woman, you know, she said, it is well. The first time somebody asked her about, she said, it shall be well. She spoke it out. And the next time, even when she got up there, she said, it is well. Now, of course, it wasn't well, so to speak, but she declared the faith of God. She declared the word of faith and said, it is well. You know, when she got, you know, there, and then the man of God said, oh, now the Lord revealed to him what had happened and so forth. He went there and so on. And the next thing you know, that child came back to life. Can you say praise the Lord? Because she spoke life back into that child by her faith, the word of faith that was in our mouth. Now, for those of you who are parents, in here this morning, especially those who are fathers, there is a very special blessing that God has placed in you that you can bless your children with. Throughout the Old Testament, all those men of God, you know, they were not any great prophets or anything. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The Bible said they would have a staff, and by the time they're about to die, some of them leaning upon their staff, they just pronounce his blessings and so forth. And everything they said, you know, to all, you know, all those people like that, you know, everything they said, even Jacob, all the things he said to all the children, all the, you know, same thing till the end of the age, about even the 12 tribes of Israel. Everything he said, you know, just like that. You know, but let's bring it home to ourselves this morning. Can you believe God on account of this short exhortation this morning? And can you, and perhaps you have some situation in business also, you know, and so forth like that, you know. Can you believe God? Can you speak, you know, those obstacles out of the way? Can you speak the word of God and say, this week, hallelujah, amen, praise the Lord. Well, you know, when the word of God is preached, if it is not mixed with faith in your heart, it won't profit you anything. But somebody is going to believe this message. Can I get a witness in the house? Yeah. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house? Or somebody will believe this message and your life will be different. Because you will get up and you will speak to your situation. You will speak just like God said. Doesn't matter what it is. You speak the word. You saw Jesus speak to a tree. And Jesus himself said, the works that I do, the same shall you do. Oh yeah, you speak to your situation. And let's see what the Lord will do for you. I want you to stand to your feet this morning. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap that he deserves. Amen. Let's shout the victory this morning. Give a shout out to Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to challenge us this morning. We're going to do some things here this morning. We're going to make the decree. I'm going to start first. See? Because the Bible says, he that is least in the kingdom of God is a person that teaches people to do something and he himself does not know how to do it. He will be least in the kingdom of God. I don't want to be the least in the kingdom of God. Amen? So I'm going to show you this morning, you know, that I don't want to be the least in the kingdom of God. I'm going to practice what I preach. Amen? But the first thing, I'm going to make some decrees for this church. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, for every one of you, whatever situation that you want God to work for you, you know, I want you to empower yourself by this word this morning. I say, Lord, I believe your word. That's the first thing. You got to have faith in God. And then you speak the decree this morning. And don't doubt it in your heart. Hallelujah. And then I'm going to believe the Lord with you. But first, I'm going to do this for the church. Now, let me declare. You know, one time, you know, I was praying for the church and different things. And the Lord, he told me and said, but you're forgetting something. I said, what might that be? And he said, your secret weapon. And I said, my goodness, what in the world is that? You know, and he said, your faith. Oh. And then my eyes were enlightened. See, by word of faith, I give the glory to God. Everything in my life has been accomplished just by speaking it out. You know. And we can do the same this morning. Amen? Amen. Now, let me speak for this church. You know, in this church this morning, we are going to speak our own building into existence. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Now, I decree it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. I speak it into view. Yes. Just like God said, I say also, let it come forth yes. to the glory of God. Yes. This year, we will have it. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise. Amen. Now, for anybody that wants to speak the word of faith this morning for yourself, I'm not going to do it for you. I want you to step out here in the front. If you have any faith, you'll step out here in the front this morning. You will decree this thing that you want God to do for you this morning. You will speak it forth. And I, by the grace and the power and the authority of the word of God this morning, I will agree with you, and it shall be done. The Bible says all it takes is for two to agree. So you don't need any unbelieving friends to tell you anything. You've got me right here. You believe and I believe with you, and that settles it. You speak the word, I will say amen to it, and God is going to do it. That's all you need. I'm not going to pray for anybody this morning. You speak the word. Now I want you, those of you who are out here, I see many, many of you here, I want you to begin to decree the faith. Decree with faith. Now, as you stand here, you must forgive. If you have any bitterness in your heart, you have anything in your heart against anybody that you are holding, maybe recently, maybe for days, maybe for weeks, maybe even for months or years, you are holding something against somebody, you better forgive them this morning, or this prayer is not going anywhere. You know, but when you forgive, when you clear your hearts, then you return to the Almighty and put away the sins, put away unrighteousness from your tabernacles, put away all unclean things from you, and then believe God this morning and speak what you believe, and I will agree with you in the name of the Lord. Speak for, decree, prophesy to your situation. Prophesy the word of the Lord to your situation this morning, and believe God for your miracle. Speak it like Jesus did. He spoke and it came to pass. The Bible says he spoke and it stood fast. He commanded and it was done. God said, let there be light. Speak into your situation this morning. You are looking for a job, or you are looking for a better job, or you are in debt, or whatever the situation is. Speak. You need a place to live. Speak for your situation this morning. You are believing God for a miracle. Speak in the word of God. The Bible says that word is nigh your mouth. You don't need to go to heaven to bring Jesus down. He's already in you. You don't need to look for him in the grave, because he's no longer there. He is already risen. Speak the word this morning in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And everybody says, everybody says, let me tell you what amen means. Amen means so be it. So it is spoken, and so shall it be. Even the law of the Medes and Persians in the Bible says once they have written it or spoken it, it cannot be nullified. And so we speak this morning concerning every decree that every one of you has spoken this morning. Concerning the one that I decree concerning this church, and concerning the ones that every one of you has decreed this morning, so shall it be. In Jesus' name. And my word shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish the thing whereunto I send it, and it shall prosper in the thing that I please. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. While you are standing here, let me read God's special promise for you this morning to back this up, so you will know that God is in this place for you this morning, working on your behalf. Isaiah chapter 44. Thus saith the Lord, verse 24, thy Redeemer. And if I read something that makes you excited, you are free to shout. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed you from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretch forth the heavens alone, and spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Now listen to verse 25. That frustrated the tokens of the liars. All the lies that thy fool has spoken against you in your life, God will frustrate them. I am the Lord that frustrated the token of liars. And I make diviners mad. People who gaze into crystal balls and so forth, God makes them mad and confused. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Oh yes. And I turn wise men backwards, and I make their knowledge to be foolish. And everybody that has said to you that you cannot make it, God will frustrate their work. And now listen to this. And I am he that confirmeth the word of my servants. The word that you have spoken this morning. God said, I will confirm it. And I will perform the counsel of my messengers. God has sent me as a messenger of glad tidings to you this morning.
Hallelujah.
And God will perform it.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
He will frustrate the tokens of liars. Every lie that devil has told you. The devil has said, aha, aha, you are down and I will keep you down. God will frustrate that token. The devil, he wanted to take out a contract on you. And he had a contract of death. He had a contract of destruction. He had a contract of poverty and sickness and evil. And he had this contract. And he tried to write your name in it. The Lord showed me this vision a while ago. And as he wrote it, he would write it, but nothing would stay. Because the blood of Jesus covers every one of you. Can you say praise the Lord? Every contract is void. We are prohibited by law. Even in this state and in the great United States of America, in every state, when you take out a contract, there is an underlining law that says this contract is void. We are prohibited by law. And every contract that devil has taken out against your life, it is void by the law of liberty. The liberty of the sons of God has voided every contract that Satan has taken out against you. Oh, Satan has taken out contract against some of you. I know what I'm talking about. But they are voided in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That is how God frustrates the tokens of the liars. Now raise your hands and praise him this morning. Come on. Raise your hands and praise him. Holy Bashadara.
Hallelujah.
Praise him this morning.
Hallelujah.
Praise him this morning.
Hallelujah.
Oh yes.
Jesus.
Give him the glory that he deserves.
Hallelujah.
Shout the victory this morning. 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 In Jesus' name, we have decreed.
Yeah.